It's the translation. We welcome you to the translation from German to English by Sharmandan Harris. Hi, or good morning for everyone who has been up a little longer. We will today talk about the hype about artificial intelligence and why it is very difficult for this planet and why it is actually giving longer life to the fossil industry. And it is not about the hype when we talk about AI, but the elephant in the room. My name is Rike. I work for Bits & Bäume, and we are people who fight for environmental governance and institutes and also workers' rights. And we work on the topics of sustainability and digital rights. Because there's no technology on a dead planet, and also because tech concerns are very dangerous for climate sovereignty. And I'm very happy that I'm doing this talk today with Moritz. I'm also very happy. Hi. Hello to the internet as well. I'm Moritz, and I'm here in the role of campaigning from Urgewalt e.V., which is an NGO in Germany. And our goal is it to fight against all of these companies who are trying to have more and more power over fossil fuels. So we're trying to make pressure as well. So what we'd like to talk about today, we would like to talk about the presentation that we had last year where Rike talked with Constanze about the AI hype. And we will now look at what has actually happened this year in 2025. And then also we'll look at the role of the fossil industry and the hype about AI. And then we look at who's actually profiting from this hype and who is actually bearing the costs. And then at the very end, we look at what we actually need for climate governance and protection. Furthermore, we also want to look, we don't want to look at all of the other things that are happening because of AI. So for example, there is neocolonial digital colonialism. There's this book, Digital Colonialism, by Sven Hilbig and Ingo Dachwitz. And these are just topics that we now recommend you and that you can read upon here in these books that we recommend here. For example, there's also the book Atlas of AI by Kate Crawford. And also there's many reports in netzpolitik.org. Then there's also the problems for democracy, human rights, and also resistance. But we recommend you to go to the conference, Cables of Resistance, in April 2026, which is actually circling around this topic. We will now shortly talk about why AI is against the climate by its design. And here we would like to mention that we continue to be directed into the climate catastrophe. And here we have the points at which we have reached the points in climate, they're non-reversible. So what are these points that we've arrived? And what are these particular points? So these particular critical points are between a certain kind of temperature, which you can see on the slide, for example, 1.5 until 2.0 degrees. Of course, these critical points can also come a lot earlier than we predict them. So the difference between 2.5 and 3, for example, is the ice in Greenland going to be lost. And then the difference is, of course, extreme weather, further things that are going to happen. And the very most important about this graphic is there is actually a big difference between 1.5 and 2.0 degrees. Because in the political debate, we sometimes talk about like, oh, but it's not that big of a difference if we have 1.5 or 2.0 degrees, but actually it makes a lot of difference. And it's not 5 after 12, but it's 15 minutes to 1, actually. And at the same time, climate policy is not actually taking place and is a lot in the background. So 2025, we actually surpassed 1.5. It was just temporary, which is good, but of course, at the same time, terrible enough, because it shouldn't have taken place. And in 2026, scientists believe that we will surpass this again. And at the same time, in the whole world, in Germany, in the US and Europe as well, climate protection is being dismantled. And then COP in Brazil as well, there was no negotiation taking place. So here we have this new, but not so new anymore, technology, the so-called AI, which is a new industry against the climate, which is adding up to the whole climate crisis. So what is the AI that we talk about? We talk about generative AI, large language models, foundation models. These are AI models which are being trained with a lot of data, and they are generating texts and videos and images. We are not talking about everything you can do with data. Sometimes in the debate about AI, everything that you can do with data is being put into this pot, let's say. And of course, there is many very impactful codes that you can use, but this is not the AI that we talk about. We also don't talk about artificial general intelligence. This is more of a science fiction thing. The idea is that there's going to be an artificial intelligence that is very comparable to humans, which is the promise of the AI enterprises. So for example, OpenAI has the product for ChatGPT, but promises us that in one day, the AI will cure cancer or solve the problem of not finding a place to live anymore. And Ursula von der Leyen as well has told us that this could happen already next year. But then scientists in all of Europe have responded to this and said that this is a very dangerous remark of her. So the world of scientists is not convinced that AGI is ever going to be reached. Now we don't have Constanze, unfortunately, but we still wanted to bring you a little bit of technical background. But both of us were not technicians, and we didn't study anything technical. So this is a paper which talks about all of the life cycle of AI. So not just the training, but also the development, and also the development of hardware. So we need these kind of papers, because we need to look at the exact kind of CO2 that is being emitted by AI. So OpenAI is giving numbers themselves, but we cannot just trust their own numbers. So this is why this is very important, to look at all of the data that we have. So this is being modeled with open source models. And this one is with 5 billion tokens and 14 million parameters, has 230 megawatt an hour and emissions of 100 tons of CO2. So the life cycle of this model is as much as is one family in the US for 21 years, or one person and the water it's using for 7 years. So the training itself is already very heavy in consumption, but this is not the actual part for why all of these centers for programming are going to be built.
Here we have a paper that compares different large language models, large language model functions. For example, generating images creates more or use more of energy than, for example, text classification. What was an issue this year, or was reasoning a new issue? That means for a non-computer scientist that the models are reiterating, reconsidering multiple times, and the promise was that it will stop the hallucination of AI, but then it also uses much more energy. You see, for example, that the DeepSeek model, without reasoning, it uses much less energy than it does when it uses reasoning. If you're looking at the reasoning model, it takes up more 154 times more energy than without reasoning. And then we have to look at it, that into the usage of energy for AI, and think it's using much more energy than we currently think. And AI companies are hiding away their information on how much power consumption is linked to AI. So there are, you see some data here on how much energy is being used in the US for AI models. In the past, server facilities needed are now not anymore linked to the number of users or the number of, there's no proportional relation, and AI creates a disproportionate exponential increase in energy usage by servers across the globe. For example, AI will be increasing power usage, for example, on the level of India, and coal power plants are being reactivated just to serve AI. Or we expect that AI usage will increase extremely, and power usage for AI will increase extremely. And now Moritz will tell you about plans for new data centers. So what's going on with that issue? What the European Union has is FOMO, fear of missing out. So they are now pushing for new data centers. They have now promised hundreds of billions of dollars, euros, for new data centers to make Europe the AI continent, whatever that means. And then there shall be 19 so-called AI factories and several AI gigafactories. And the new German federal government has also proclaimed that Germany shall be an AI nation. And the coalition agreement of the new government says that this further promises that climate neutrality shall be made, quote unquote, praxis, close to praxis. And it doesn't sound as if they are looking for the 1.5 degrees limit. If we're looking at the proportion of power usage of data centers in Germany has increased significantly, or will increase in the next years, from 4% last year to 10% in 12 years. And it's not our suggestion or idea, it's data from the federal agency regulating telecommunications. And that, of course, has repercussions on the energy market. The bigger energy power consumption requires then also more power creation. So now, for example, data centers are competing with new power storage facilities. And so it might be also linked to rising price costs, because the creation of new data centers, linking them to the power network, increases fees that are part of the German power price, energy price. So, we have talked quite a lot now about the power consumption and AI, and now you're, why am I here as, and we're talking about fossil fuels and fossil industry and AI. So we have talked about nature being destroyed for, which has been destroyed by global oil and global gas, and that's the global oil and gas exit list, which is abbreviated GOGL, not to be confused with Google. And we are mapping the power usage, power creation, and then how also it is destroying nature. And the EU has said that, the UN has said, if you want to don't want to pass the 1.5 degree limit, we shouldn't be creating new oil and gas fields past 2022. And so if you're looking then at the what's going on now, so there are several companies of several parts of the production stream, supply chain, that are then also playing a role, those who are exploring and getting the oil out of the out of Mother Earth, or also those that are using them. For example, in Ireland, there was a new gas power plant to facilitate new data centers. And the tech industry is also, we're now seeing that the caused by tech promises that it creates a new fossil era. And now our team from Urgewalt has researched the fossil power, fossil fuel creation or fossil fuel usage caused by AI.
Genau, und hier seht ihr einmal die Aufstellung für die Gaskraftwerksexpansionspläne.
Here you see new gas power plants that are planned for the US, and it doesn't say anything related to AI companies or tech companies. And it is, of course, an issue that, like, AI companies aren't directly involved into power creation, but they are then contracting those power creation facilities, power creation companies, and so they can outsource the energy generation, but on the other hand, all related risks, but then on the other hand, they can also make use of it. And now the US has surpassed China in being the biggest gas power plant user or facilitator against China. So China was the one in the past, and now the US has stopped them. So for example, Siemens Energy, they present themselves as being the renewable champion, but they are also the second largest gas turbine manufacturer. So they are now part of an oligopoly market where they have very strong influence in that market. So what they're doing now, so now they're working together with the Irish data center facility, Eaton, and so you can just rent a gas turbine and a power and a data center in one go. And how is the current plan for German power plants with the new federal government?
Wirtschaftsministerin.
So this is the image of the economy minister that we have in Germany. She's called Reiche. And there was the plan to actually create more gas power plants, which actually has been denied by the commission, actually because of the right to competition. So now we arrived at 8 gigawatt. And now everything that needs to be done for this is going to happen in 2026. So the day after tomorrow, if we think about it. So this is now what you see, the same plan, but just for Germany. So, for example, the Block 8 gas power plant in Hanau, in Hessen, here in Germany. And it's also being talked about that this gas power plant is very good because there's so many areas available around, so there could be many databases built around it directly at the gas power plant. So this project is one of the around 12% of the gas power plant capacities that are being connected to database centers already. So the CDU and CSU parliament member has been at this location, and he actually said that it is a very important location and it's important for economical reasons. What he didn't say, that he didn't talk about the 1.8 goal of the parliament. And for me personally, I don't know how you can add this, because if you look at the time for gas power plants, firstly, that needs to be built for 5 years, and then 25 to 30 years, they're going to be in usage. And it also takes this long of time to get the money in again, to amortize themselves. And in the so-called advanced economies, we actually have to reach 2035 at the 1.5 goal that we have, which here you can see it doesn't work together. If we think about the graphic that we had at the beginning about the critical points, you can see that there is a big distance between these goals. So we are extremely far from the goal of 1.5 degrees. But yes, fossil concerns are not fossil concerns if they wouldn't have very good excuses. So Exxon, for example, here is saying that they can do CCS. So like trying to put the coal under the soil, or like have this kind of technique that is actually, you know, greenwashing, because the so-called CCS doesn't exist already, the carbon capture. It's also being researched upon for decades. And then even before all of this carbon capture storage, when you want to get rid of the carbon, only 80% of it can actually be stored. And then at the further transport of the CO2, and then also if you want to actually store it at the soil of the Baltic Sea, there's huge challenges and there's also no experience. It's going to be another decades until the infrastructure for this is going to be there, actually. And then also we talk about the so-called green hydrogen, which is another study that we have here in Nature. And they actually have the result that the ambitions and the results are very, very far away from each other. And it cannot actually be used for decarbonizing in the energy sector. For example, in the metal industry, like there cannot be other sources, but then in this sector there is actually renewable energies. And then actually, fact is today there should be more gas and more generative AI. But all of this for a potential AI bubble? So if we look at what are the expectations, we're putting a lot of play here. There's lots of expansion taking place. And behind this, there's very, very windy predictions for the future. So investors, of course, think that there's going to be private wins. And then states believe that they have like 10% economical increase. And then the tech concerns are in competition about having a position of monopoly here. And then behind this, of course, if one company doesn't reach AGI, another one does. So there's this competition here. And at the same time, in science, there is no proof for us actually arriving at AGI. But Sam Altman by OpenAI actually is advocating for this promise. And that's very important. If we look at financial markets, then trust is actually the base for this hype. So Sam Altman is really actively trying to build this trust. So if this trust is going to be lost, which is actually happening right now, so the former IBF chef is actually warning for an economic crisis. So if we lose this trust, then this bubble is going to burst, which has actually happened the past 30, 40 years. And if we look at investings that have been taking place, if we only look at AI, then we have this study of the MIT that 95% of this financial investments have not been profitable. So there are circular deals, which is NVIDIA. The only profitable concern in all of AI, and they actually invest in OpenAI, and OpenAI receive $1 billion, but it's only making $13 million, so it's not very profitable. But NVIDIA opens in OpenAI so that they can build the database centers, so that they can then use the GPU from NVIDIA. So it's all connected, of course. And more analysts say it is a bubble which is going to burst. So from the experiences that we've had from the economic crisis, it's not going to be like it's not going to be the ones that are working that are affected, but the poor ones. So for example, banks or pension funds as well are not going to be affected. And then all parts of society are going to be affected by this, of course. And when the AI bubble is going to burst, we are facing economic crisis. So even if the bubble doesn't burst, it doesn't mean that we reach AGI, but it only means that the finances are going to be increased again. It is just going to be a future in which these men have power over a very, very powerful technical tool. So they are right now lobbying against climate control and against climate change, and they are fighting for generative AI. It is changing the way we look at truth. And all over the globe, it is being lobbied about this. They are also fighting for Trump fascism. So the tech capital is, of course, going together with Trump fascism, not just in the US, but also the right-wing party AfD in Germany, which is not a very good future view.
And both needs energy and infrastructure. So with both of those options, we are heading for a climate catastrophe or climate crisis. So there must be change. We do have to change something, both the general public and also we as a movement. We can't let this slip.
Genau, und deswegen,
so, this is why we want to think about how we could make climate protection truly work for true protection of the climate. we would need more renewable energy, we would need more energy storage facilities and more efficiency. But for more protection of the climate, we also have to stop the fossil expansion. There's no arguing about this. And also, creating new renewable facilities also is no solution, because whenever there's no wind or sun, we need backup generators, and those run on fossil fuels often. So if you're looking, there was a study which had a look at the CO2 creation caused by data centers in Ireland, and it is as if there were hundreds of thousands of cars that would have run for years continuously. That's how much CO2 got generated by Irish data centers. And so if you look also at this graph on the right, the CO2 production, the CO2 emission caused by energy creation. And if we want to stop the climate crisis, if we want to limit it, we have to also limit our power usage, power consumption. So here are some more precise, some more concrete options or changes we would need. For example, we wouldn't need any of those 8 gigawatt new gas power plants, also not for AI. But also we have to fight against there's lobbying to destroy the Energy Efficiency Law Act of Germany, or weaken it, and we have to fight back against that. And also we need more transparency for data centers, their power usage, and also their data usage. We would like to see an obligation to declare how the power is generated that is used by data centers. So Ulrike will also tell us about ideas we have what to do next. On the 26th of February, it's the annual general meeting of Siemens Energy in Hamburg. Also, watch your local data center. So the city councils and the county councils are not that proficient in handling the issues. They are overwhelmed by the data centers, and so request insights into data, into information on how the data centers were planned, and on data regarding environmental-related data. So movement activities we have the Cables of Resistance conference in April this year or next year, and the call for papers, call for participation is open till 16th of January, so please enter your talk, or you can also get your tickets, and generally resist AI, use your brain. And so AI doesn't just create dangers for the environment, but also for democracy and our lives. We don't want that AI is supplied with renewable energy, that we limit the development of AI so it doesn't go towards that extended power consumption. And how does this society work when also AI is facilitated and owned by very right-wing people, very right-wing men. And if it doesn't, isn't that something that should be owned by the populace or shouldn't be owned by the community? So we would need a radical democratization of AI and also of infrastructure as well. Thank you very much.
Ich gehe noch einmal durch die Quellen, ja.
Sehr viele Quellen.
Wenn wir eine ganz kurze Frage haben, dann können wir noch eine Frage machen.
If we have a brief question, we can give it a chance, but we don't have the time for more.
So, as far as I know, gas power plants are super expensive, especially also for creating power. So, who has this idea to buy fossil fuels? Because at this point, renewable energies are cheaper.
Ist wirklich eine sehr berechtigte Frage, die stelle ich mir auch.
It's a very valid question. I also pose the question myself, or think about it myself. So, yeah, well, they have like good links, direct links to decision makers, and as I mentioned, like these fossil lies, which who are acting as if we are moving towards renewables. We would be endangered by blackouts, which isn't true. So we have to also make it clear, make it public, that also renewables are working and would help.
Thank you very much. I would like to do more Q&A, but unfortunately we don't have more time. But both of you are going to be in front of the door, so please go talk to them. And also, they're going to be at the Bits and Bäume assembly, which is downstairs, Hall H, as long as it's still there. So this is how we'll finish the session. Thank you so much. Applause.
Thanks for listening to the English translation of Fossil.